And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
So here's the question. Since we're all in such a loving spirit around the holidays, do you think that Apple, Microsoft, and Google and the other internet giants pay their fair share of taxes? I don't. And in fact, I've been hammering this point for two books now. And strangely enough, Charlie Rose, interviewed Apple CEO Tim Cook, who is as slithery a snake as Obama. As Obama lies about everything, so does Tim Cook, in my appreciation and opinion. Tim Cook tries to slither out of the tax avoidance of Apple as asked by, of all people, the number one chief liberal in the media, if you can separate them from each other, and it's very hard to do, Charlie Rose. You have to listen to 22 and 21 on The Savage Nation.
But here's what they concluded. Apple is engaged in a sophisticated scheme to pay little or no corporate taxes on $74 billion in revenues held overseas.
That is total political crap. There's no truth behind it. Apple pays every tax dollar we owe. What I told them and what I'll tell you and the folks watching tonight is we pay more taxes in this country than anyone.
Well, they know that, and you should, because of how much money you make.
Well, that I don't deny that. We happily pay
it. But you also have more money overseas probably than any other
American company. Because, as I said before, two-thirds of our business is over there.
Yeah. But why don't you bring that home is the question.
I'd love to bring it home.
Why don't you?
Because it would cost me 40% to bring it home, and I don't think that's a reasonable thing to do. This is a tax code, Charlie, that was made for the industrial age, not the digital age. It's backwards. It's awful for America. It should have been fixed many years ago. It's past time to get it done.
Now you know how Apple CEO Tim Cook got his job and keeps his job. He's as good at it as Barack Obama at his job, which is called spinning the truth. The plain fact is, despite all the rhetoric coming from the communists and the Democrat Party, including the ones who are running for the office of the presidency, you know and I know that the major corporations like Apple don't pay their fair share. Oh, they pay what they have to pay, but they rigged the tax code as far as I'm concerned. They say, oh, it's the tax code. They wrote the tax code. In fact, the last I checked, talking about Microsoft now, and I could be mistaken, Microsoft hired over 1,000 former IRS officers to rewrite their own tax laws so they would pay as little as possible. You say, well, it's just business. No, it's not just business. It's monkey business. Number one. Number two. Number two is this. If Trump wins, and I think he will, my career will have been worth the struggle. This nation has been very good to me. I have struggled as an immigrant son. From the day I could remember, 5 years of age, I was working, selling comic books on the streets of the Bronx, used comic books. Didn't bother me. I love making a few cents here and there. I learned the work ethic from the street up. And the nation has rewarded me despite 20 years of being subverted by the communist left with affirmative action, who gave jobs to totally unqualified morons instead of to this genius, Michael Savage. But they actually did me a favor. And so in the end, because they couldn't defeat me, the country has been good to me, and I want to save it from further demolition by the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party. And I frankly believe that Trump will win. As you know, the latest polls are showing something that the major media won't disclose to you. The latest polls are showing that even amongst African Americans who you would think wouldn't support him, there's huge support, and I'll tell you why. It's because they don't want to be BS'd anymore. They'll take any politician who doesn't lie to them. And they also know he's not owned by anybody. They know no one's pulling his strings. They like his independence. They trust him more than they trust the communists and the Democrat Party. That's a shocker to old Hillary Clinton, the harridan who thinks she's going to win. She's going to be destroyed, by the way. If it ever comes down to Trump versus her in a fair election, and I emphasize the word fair, she loses 70-30. But I have deep fears that it'll never get there. Very deep fears that the corrupt Democrat-Republican machine and whoever runs it will never let Trump get to the finish line. That's what I fear, and I don't even want to go down that road. But I'm working as hard as I can to disclose what really is going on in this country on a daily basis, to give back to this nation the opportunities that it has afforded me, an immigrant son. That's the opening to the show. The phone number is 855-407-282. I really don't want any calls on this. I'm just going to ramble on for a while and give you discursive ideas on so many topics that there's no coordination to them. There's no sequence to what I'm saying to you. It's a collection of thoughts at the end of the year. So here's another thought for you to think about. I was watching a TV show last night about kids with an illness. I forget the name of it. They have OCD, and they also blurt out anything that's on their mind. What's that called? There's a word for it, where they scream and say things that's on their mind. They can't control it. Robert, what's the name of that illness? Tourette syndrome. And it was very sad to watch, because I've known children like that when I was young. We had friends like that, and we thought that, you know, they were sick, something wrong with them. It's tragic to watch these boys struggling to control their emotions in methods that they're teaching them, and this was in England or Scotland somewhere. They teach them how to control it when they feel it coming on. It's almost like an epileptic seizure. They know it's coming on. They know they're going to blurt something out that's inappropriate, and they try their hardest, these poor little kids, to stop it, and they can't. It's heartbreaking to watch. And I was wondering about Tourette's and OCD. And then I was thinking something broader. It's a semi-comedic and almost embarrassing to admit. I think that most talk show hosts who are good, in a way, suffer radio Tourette's. I've hinted at this before. Because unless you're willing to blurt out what you really feel, you're going to die in this business. You may as well just be working for just at something else. If you're going to watch everything you say, and you're going to check every word that you say, and you're not going to really express yourself honestly, you're not going to last in this business. You'll never get into the inner circle, and you'll never last, moreover. People don't want to hear more BS because they hear it all day long. So they listen to the radio. What do they hear? I have no makeup. I have no flashing lights. I have no stockings and shoes and lipstick to use, and every second a breaking news flash. How could there be so much breaking news on Fox News when there's no news? Every second, another shot in your eye. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. I think they've abused it. It's like the rat in the cage. How many times can you shock it? But having said that, and having just blurted out what I really felt about Fox News, I'd like to go into that subject a bit. I actually like to hear from parents who have children who have Tourette's what it's actually like. What is it? Where does it come from? What's the thinking on this? Are there any psychiatrists or doctors or neurologists who specialize in this area? And by the way, what is the difference between Tourette's syndrome and someone who simply tells you what the heck he thinks? I really like to know the difference. What is the difference between expressing what you really think, for example, about a politician or a situation, and a kid who has Tourette's syndrome? Maybe it's just a magnified form of it, I ask myself. And I don't really know the answer to it. This is in no way an attempt to denigrate the serious problem. As I started this little monologue or observation, I told you, my heart went out to these boys. You could see them struggling to control themselves. And you ask yourself, what the heck is this about, you know? Anyway, that's another thought. 855-407-282. Yesterday I talked about the rape and murder of little girls by ISIS. It went over everyone's head. No one cared. I had the leader of an army trying to fight them in the Assyrian army. Not a word. Zero. Nothing. Not a word from the great champion of women. Hillary Clinton, champion of women. Not one word about the kidnap and rape of eight-year-old girls that's going on an industrial scale in the Middle East. Not one word from that liar. How's that for Tourette's? How's that for Radio Tourette's? She's a liar and a crook. How could you vote for her? How's that for Radio Tourette's? Not one word from the woman who says she is a champion for women. Not one word about ongoing kidnap, slavery, and rape of little girls. Yazidis in this case. I guess they don't count because it's a funny name, you know. After all, what's a Yazidi? How many Yazidis could vote for her in America? Really, how many Yazidis do you know? I mean, I eat ziti and marinara sauce, I admit that. But no, I never met a Yazidi. So, hey, what's the difference? There aren't that many Yazidis to vote for. It's probably there's more Ziti in America than there are Yazidis. So Hillary does the calculation. She realizes that there's more Ziti than Yazidi, so why care about rape, murder, kidnapping of little girls in the Middle East? They can't vote for her. And we know she's a woman of pure and absolute conscience. And all you women who would vote for her, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you have any shame, you ought to be ashamed of yourself lining yourself up with someone like her. Oh, I don't care that she's a Democrat. That doesn't bother me at all. There used to be Democrats who loved America. Oh, there really used to be Democrats who were nationalists, who were in favor of protecting the people of this country, who didn't sell themselves out to foreign entities. Yeah, there used to be Democrats like that, if you can believe it. They weren't even all communists. I remember them. We had one of them in this campaign, and they destroyed him, former Secretary of the Navy. Again, I forget the gentleman's name. Robert, what was it again? I always forget his name because that's what they did to him. He ran as a Democrat. He was in the first Democrat debate. Jim Webb, great man. And they destroyed him. They made a mockery of his nationalism. That's what your Democrat Party has become. Nothing. Zero. Worthless. So anyway, to go back to the beginning, I want to talk about the Tourette's. I want to talk about companies like Apple not paying their fair share, in my opinion. I want to talk about all these topics and a few more. Here's another one for you if you don't have enough. Are you ready for this one? Those of you who don't know what Sharia law is and what Muslims really want to do to you in this country once they gain a certain foothold. Those of you who are stupid enough to think that the Muslims are just like other oppressed minorities who came here. You morons, you idiots, you psychos who don't know anything about history. Are you ready for this? The filthy, tiny, oil-rich Asian nation of Brunei has banned all public Christmas celebrations from tree lighting to the donning of Santa hats and threatened offenders with up to 5 years in prison, the Sydney Morning Herald reports. Now, what you may not know is that the country is 32% Christian. Non-Muslims are 32% of the population, but the Muslim fascists who run the tiny oil-rich Asian nation of Brunei have banned all public Christmas celebrations. The ban was first enacted last year to control the act of celebrating Christmas, which could damage the beliefs of the Muslim community, the Ministry of Fascist Religious Affairs said in a statement published in the Brunei Times. It gets even better for all of you Muslim lovers out there. According to the statement, Christmas celebrations violate the penal code prohibiting the propagation of religions other than Islam to Muslims. It's such a fabulous religion, Islam, that they're afraid that if the children and the people, as a matter of fact, who are Muslims, see Christians expressing kindness to each other, it may kind of spread to their religion and undermine it. Some may think that it is a frivolous matter and should not be brought up as an issue, a group of local imams told the Borneo Bulletin, the Australian newspaper reports, quote, but we must keep it away as it could affect our Islamic faith. How do you like that? The announcement was met by boycotts and protests at Sultan Hassani Bolkiah's hotels in the U.S. and U.K. Interesting. What hotels does the Sultan of Brunei own here in the U.S.? I'd like to post a list of them on the Savage website, michaelsavage.com. And I'd like all of you to post all of the Sultan's hotels on every one of your Facebook accounts and make sure not a penny goes into that fascist pig's pockets. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
But here's what they concluded. Apple is engaged in a sophisticated scheme to pay little or no corporate taxes on $74 billion in revenues held overseas.
That is total political crap. There's no truth behind it. Apple pays every tax dollar we owe.
Notice he says we owe. It's nice to have friends in the White House and the IRS. I mean, you'd pay all the tax dollars you owe also, especially if the tax code is written so you only pay a certain amount and not the full amount. The day they pay 39% is the day I'll raise the flag. You know what I'm saying? Hotels owned by the Sultan of Brunei. Aha. UK, he owns the Dorchester. Never go there. In the U.S., the Beverly Hills Hotel. I'm never going there again. I'm not going there again. I know it was boycotted because of a gay thing. Now I'm never going there again. I'm going to be in Beverly Hills this weekend. I'm not going there. I go there for coffee. It's like I went there for two coffees and a piece of cake. It cost $40. It was beautiful, though, because nobody was in the Polo Lounge. I like going there when none of the posers are there. It's a pleasure to go into restaurants in Beverly Hills when all the fakers are not. They will make believe they have deals pending. They got a deal pending. It's almost coming. It's almost about to be completed. It's in progress. They're looking at it. They're evaluating it. There's no one there. It was gorgeous. I'm never going there again. The Hotel Bel Air, Los Angeles. Opened again in 20. Never going there. In France, Le Meurice, Paris. La Plaza Athénée. In Switzerland, if you're thinking of going there for the holidays, and all of my rich listeners. Le Richemont. Or for those of you who are popping off to Italy for the holidays because you have nothing but money in your pockets. He owns the Hotel Principe di Savoia in Milan and the Hotel Eden in Rome. You know, if Christians really want to support Christmas, they ought to consider who the Sultan of Brunei really is. Every cup of coffee you buy in any of his restaurants go towards his belief system. That's all. Next case. 855. Raj on WMAL. Welcome to the program, Raj. What's your topic?
About Tourette's, but it relates to a whole other things which you have spoken about so eloquently.
Well, make it quick, though, Raj. Tell us about Tourette's, what you know about it.
That is, the regeneration of our neurons is indeed possible.
How do you know that neurons can be regenerated?
It's been proven.
What you're saying is these poor children, if they had this regeneration, would not suffer?
They would not suffer because built into our DNA is self-repair. Those self-repair things have been blunted by all these antibiotics and all the pharmaceuticals.
Hold on, Raj. I know you've called before. You're a brilliant man. I'd like to hear more about this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, we're talking about the cultural revolution that is being conducted upon America by Barack Fang Obama. The Fang is on vacation right now, and the Fang is resting for a while before he comes back to bite the apple again. And the Fang won't be happy until this country of ours resembles that of communist China under Mao Zedong, in a minor form, of course. And whether you can survive the Cultural Revolution is a question of whether you can. And what do I mean by the Cultural Revolution? It's everything I talk about every day. Flooding America with cultures that are not only incapable of assimilating into this culture, but the opposite of that. They want to destroy this culture. They want to convert the culture. Do I have to spell out the name Islam? Islam is not compatible with the West. Islam has been at war with everyone for 1,400 years, no matter what Hillary Clinton may protesteth about it. The religion itself is a religion of conversion. The cultural revolution that China went through is what Obama is trying to conduct upon this country in a far more stealthy manner. The cultural revolution occurs on all levels. The universities have become... do I have a word for a single word of what they've done to the universities? Take a look at what these Black Lives Matter radicals have done to the campuses. Shouting down professors, white professors at that, who won't cater to them. Do you see what I'm talking about? Those are the Red Guards of today. The movies, pollution, garbage, filth, undermining the family, undermining faith, everything you can believe in. That's the cultural revolution. They make a good buck at it, too. Oh, yeah. Big dollar in the counterculture. Big dollar in the anti-hero business. All the great anti-heroes. So, the Cultural Revolution. Can you survive it? You know, I have two books I'm reading. One is Jung Chang's book, The Unknown Story of Mao. It's an older book. Light reading. It's 775 pages. I'm taking them for the holidays. The other is by another woman, Nian Chang, Life and Death in Shanghai. Another shorty. A 500-pager. And in this book, she conveys the horrors faced by one brave Chinese woman during the Cultural Revolution. That's the Communist Revolution. The Communist Revolution. She describes what they did to the people. From a China ravaged by persecution comes this remarkable and gripping testimony. You don't understand what Obama's doing. We have a society that is persecuting the Christian white male of the heterosexual variety on an almost daily basis, whether it be in the military or any other aspect of America. I don't have to spell it out for you. If you doubt me, then read Government Zero and check out the references. Ask any military man what's going on inside the military. That's part of the Cultural Revolution. You see it's going on at such a slow pace, you don't even see it happening. And if you study the history of the communist Chinese Cultural Revolution, including the rise and fall of the Red Guards, you will see that Barack Obama is a mini Mao. He's getting away with everything he possibly can and then some, given the constraints that the geniuses called the Founding Fathers placed upon this monster! 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 Resting up his fangs, sharpening the fangs in Hawaii for the next bite of the apple. And so we're talking about the big corporations who've never had it so good. See, this is how it works. You don't understand this. What you people don't understand is that if you study the history of tyrannies, which I've done all of my life since I'm 18 years old, I've been fascinated by tyrannies. How do you think Hitler rose to power out of being an obscure bum in the streets with a bunch of perverted thugs who beat everyone up? How do you think he rose to take over Germany? You would say the industrialists would have stopped him. Yeah, they would have stopped him if he wasn't good for them. But he was very smart. He cultivated, for example, the Krupps, who ran the Krupp Steel Company, builders of the armaments in Germany, and the ovens who baked the Jews. And the Krupps backed him to the hilt. So did all of the major corporations in Germany. He was very smart to have cultivated the major corporations of Germany so they wouldn't oppose him. So he made favored deals with them way along every step of the way. So now we have an interview with Apple CEO Tim Cook. And I'm making a big leap here. I'm making a cultural leap for those of you who want it and can follow the bouncing ball. What am I saying to you? Why is it we don't hear a peep from Tim Cook of Apple or the great sweater wearer of Microsoft, who has the best PR team in the world, makes you all think he's such a kindly, nice man? Why don't they say a word? They have good deals. They don't pay 39% tax like any corporation would, you know, less expenses. They're not paying 39%. They do all sorts of deals. I think one is called a Triple Irish, which Microsoft is famous for. Billions, hundreds of billions of dollars kept offshore so they don't have to pay American taxes, even though they are a U.S.-based company. Even though their companies were built here based on American technology created by government money. Think about what I just said to you. What do you think, this thing with the undershirt? Zuckerberg is such a genius? I'm sure he has genius in him. But Zuckerberg didn't invent the internet any more than Al Gore did. Zuckerberg was a buccaneer who knew how to use the internet. He came up with an app. Basically, it's an app. A schmendrick with an app at Harvard. That's what he is. A schmendrick with an app. The schmendrick from Harvard has an app. The schmendrick didn't create the internet. The schmendrick created an app, so he made a lot of money. But the schmendrick cultivates Mao Tse-Obama. So schmendrick gets favors from Mao Obama. This is how it works. And that's how it worked in Germany. That's how it works in America. They could care less what he does to the country. They could care less whether he Islamicizes this nation or floods it with children from south of the border who are flooding in over the border by the busload, running over our borders right now, diseased or not diseased. It doesn't matter to Obama. All that matters is the Cultural Revolution. He has one end goal in mind. To make certain that the heterosexual Christian white male is diminished in this country, which is why he gave that stupid speech that I played for you yesterday about the so-called blue-collar worker who is disenfranchised and how the blue-collar worker, he understands, is disenfranchised because he no longer takes a lunch pail and goes to a factory and brings home the bacon. That's the extent of his analysis. Now, blue-collar worker is a code word for white Christian male. Let me just make it very clear. BCW equals WCM. Made it up for you on the spot, okay? When they say blue collar, they mean white male. That's all they mean. Of course they understand what he's done to them. So it's going on and on and on. And I wrote a monologue the other day. And we're going to get to Tourette's again in a minute. So don't hang up if you're calling on that, because I want to learn about that. And companies hiding income overseas. I want to talk about that. Here's a shorty. Michael Savage newsletter. People finally waking up to two-party fraud. In the aftermath of the $1.1 trillion omnibus spending bill funding Obama's fundamental transformation of America, which means his cultural revolution, Savage told his listeners that many Republicans are finally realizing there is no serious opposition to the Democrats. He is unstoppable, Savage said of Obama. Virtually everything this crazy man has wanted, he has gotten. And you only know half of what he has done. You know that there's no Republican Party. I've told you it's a one-party system since 1994 when I started in radio. I called it a one-party system playing two-card Monty. I told you it was Democrats and Republicans. I told you it was three shells on the table with no P under any of the shells. I told you that. It's been a shell game all along. I'm shocked that people are waking up who backed George Bush, who went to dinner with George Bush, who licked George Bush's shoes, who promoted the Republican Party for 20 years. Now suddenly they're saying end the Republican Party? Really? Really? Welcome to the club. Bravo, Michael. Very well done, indeed. 855-407-282. Let's go to the callers. Lauren on WABC, thank you so much for calling. What's on your mind, Lauren?
French neurologist in 1885, probably named Tourette. It starts in childhood with repetitive grimaces, tics, usually head and neck, but then it can go to the arms and the trunk. And then later you can get involuntary barks, grunts, or other noises. And what you were talking about, foul language, that's coprolalia. About 50% of patients start with the coprolalia when they get older, and that usually refers to anything that has to do with feces for some reason. It's autosomal, but it's underdiagnosed because a lot of kids have tics. It's lifelong. They only can treat it with vitamin H, which is Haldol. Clonidine.
But that's a joke when you say vitamin H, right? Haldol is not a vitamin, correct?
Well, I know, but we used to say that. Go get them.
That's very funny what you just said. I just caught it. It's very funny. I really like you as a caller. You're so knowledgeable. You're a neurology nurse?
Oh, yeah. We've spoken before.
Lauren, but you're a neurology nurse?
Yeah, neurology nurse surgery. Oh, I'm losing my vision, so I'm not working now, but yes.
So these poor kids, they suffer terribly, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and it, you know how it hurts, because when you have an involuntary movement over and over and over again, that muscle gets really sore. And the clonopin.
What is it? It's a neurological disease, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's considered an autosomal dominant multiple tic disorder with variable penetrance, which is basically a disorder of extrapyramidal and cerebellar. So yeah, it is a neurological disorder. There's no doubt about it. But males 3-1 have it.
But whoa. Let me say, so there's no psychological components to this. It's all neurological.
As far as yes, it's considered a neurological disorder, and the reason that they have trouble early on is they're trying to sort out the psychiatric from the neurological, because lots of people have tics.
But when I watched the show last night, it was heartbreaking, because you see the boys about to go into what looks like an epileptic seizure, trying to control the blurting out, and they can't do it. And you could see how frightened they get and how angry they get, because they can't control it.
Control it for just like I don't want to give it a time, but they know and they try and they can control the, they call it coprolalia, C-O-P-R-O-lalia, because, they know, but they can't. So they want to stop it, but they can't stop it.
Terrible. So how much of this behavior is OCD?
I don't think OCD has anything to do with it. I mean, you could have OCD and Tourette's, but Tourette's is not considered a psychiatric disorder. It's strictly a an extra pyramidal as opposed to central nervous system.
So what do they put? They put these kids on Haldol, you're saying?
Oh, they put them on Haldol. They put them on clonidine. In the beginning, they may put them on the benzos. Nowadays, God knows, you know, whatever comes off the market.
Are you saying that the benzos control it, like the Valium class?
In the beginning, it might, but like I said, they have a life expectancy it's lifelong. So, like anything else, you're going to get the tardive dyskinesias and.
These kids who suffer Tourette's, let's not say lead a normal life, do some of them succeed in life anyway?
I had a patient she was able to live independently with help. And, you know, she got a lot of strange looks when she started with the coprolalia because, you know, she was really loud and very large. And that's how I met her, actually. She came up to me and said, and you look at him because, you know, and I was like, wow, what did I do to her?
And well, let me send you a gift. This is sad, and I don't mean to get trapped into the Tourette's discussion. It's just an interest because I had a brother who had a neurological disorder, many of them. I'm very intrigued by neurological issues to begin with. And I see the suffering of little children, and it just kills me because there's so little they could do for them. I'd rather, you know, stick to politics and other stuff. I thank you for calling. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero. Robert, play breaking news. We have a breaking news flash that's real. Just came to me. New York City has received credible threat, period. Good afternoon. This is a big story. A credible threat has been lodged against New York City days ahead of Christmas and during an especially busy time of the year when tourists flock to the Big Apple. Law enforcement sources told PIX 11 News today. Top NYPD brass, including William Bratton, held an emergency meeting Tuesday to discuss the threat and their response to it, sources said. Few details were released about the nature of the threat. Really? Well, then we should bring in a few more million Syrian Muslims with fake passports. It can only help the Cultural Revolution.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. We were talking about corporations evading U.S. taxes by parking their money overseas. Bill on KSFO wants to chime in. Bill, make your point, please.
The point is the money parked overseas in a foreign subsidiary that they own, they can easily borrow that back tomorrow. Okay, point number two is...
They can easily do what tomorrow?
They can borrow the money back and spend it anywhere they want, pay interest to the foreign subsidiary, and it still counts against their federal tax liability.
Well, wait, why do you think they have these foreign entities? Isn't it to evade paying U.S. taxes?
Well, yeah.
All right, so you agree that they should do that?
Avoidance, and a corporation that size is going to be looked at, gone through with a fine-tooth comb by the IRS.
But I'm saying, do you agree that it's a justifiable program that corporations like Apple and Microsoft should get away with this?
Well, what I'm telling you is the reality is they operate overseas, okay?
Well, we know that. That's a given. So what's your point? Do you think that Paul Ryan is correct for having signed an H-2B program which will permit 200,000 American IT workers to be fired so that Facebook can hire people from India at half the price? You wouldn't think that's good for America, do you?
I don't think it's good, but here's the other thing.
Thanks for the call. So that's what Paul Ryan just did. It allows Pimpleface from Facebook to cut the wages paid to full-time American workers.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Trying to retain borders, language, and culture. Pretty big job, by the way. Today, Speaker Ryan, the Quisling of our times, research who Quisling was. Quisling was a, I believe, a Norwegian leader who, after the Nazis had conquered Norway, capitulated with Hitler and set up a Nazi puppet state in Norway. And that's why I call Speaker Ryan the Quisling of our time, because he set up a socialist puppet state inside the Congress. Pretty good, Mike. Nice job. Today, the Quisling, Paul Ryan, defended his H-2B pink slip plan for up to 200,000 blue-collar voters and workers, according to Breitbart. He is still downplaying his controversial H-2B legislation, written specifically for the buccaneers of Silicon Valley, who want to throw out 200,000 more blue-collar Americans in order to hire cheaper workers from India and anywhere else on the planet. In fact, it'll be even higher than 200,000. In his 2016 bill, his financial bill, Quisling Ryan, which now permits 66,000 foreign workers a year, it's going up to a maximum of 264,000 foreign workers per year. Do you know what this means? This means that if you're an IT worker, you may as well be looking for another job, because they're going to find somebody from India at half the price. And they have the lobbyists, they have the lawyers necessary to do this. This is all part of the remaking of America. And Ryan is saying it's nothing. Ryan is covering it the way many of you do, under the big lie that he's a free market advocate. This is what I detest about Republicans. Whenever they're caught for being the stinkers that they are, for selling out the American worker, they say that they're proponents of the free market and that the workers are simply filling a need that American workers won't fill, and that people in business have a right to get wages as low as they possibly can. This is what I say and why I'm not a Republican. Because this amounts to basically throwing American workers out. This allows them to hire cheap foreign labor. But Ryan justified the cheap labor program by saying that he's bringing them in for certain industries that are seasonal, like seafood processing in Chesapeake Bay, seafood processing in Maine, the tourism industry in northern states, or the nursing industry in northern states, saying that these are businesses that couldn't find American workers. And so they had to bring in seasonal workers. And that's what the Republicans are saying. These are seasonal surge jobs that they can't find local workers to fill. And then he repeats the big lie about the seafood packaging industry in Chesapeake Bay. But that's all a big lie, in my opinion. It's all about paying off with it. Again, we're talking about the H-2B visa program. It's in order to make sure that Pimple Facebook, the Seattle sweater wearer, and the others can make even more billions. You see, there's no amount of money on earth that will ever satisfy them. They have the gold disease. Now, this is so bad that Nancy Pelosi crowed about the victory over the Quisling Paul Ryan. Here's what she said. This is Nancy Pelosi, the cuckoo clock. They wanted big oil so much that they give away the store. Democratic leader Nancy the Nutcase, Ms. Pelosi, said. She said, I feel almost jubilant about what is in this appropriation bill, said the nutcase, the cuckoo clock from San Francisco. Hey, that's a new one, San Francisco. I slipped on that one, San Francisco. That's pretty good. Do we have Mrs. Pelosi, Cuckoo Clock yet saying it? No, we can't find it. So in other words, okay, Quisling gave it away. It's much worse than you can imagine what they're doing to you. Paul Ryan is not a rhino. Paul Ryan is a Quisling. Look up Quisling. Quisling, 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 Quisling. Q-U-I-S-L-I-N-G spells Ryan. Let's take some callers. WJR, Linda, you're calling about the Tourette's story that we talked about. Please go on.
Yeah, Michael. I'm just calling to comment. I have a son who's 28 years old, And I know, I think I caught the tail end of another caller, a woman who is a registered nurse, and she was commenting on it being basically a neurological disorder. And I'm not disputing that, too, but then also on the other side of it, it is also an anxiety disorder because it acts itself out. He's had it since he's been a little boy, and it acts itself out when he is very either stressed or if he is very excited about something.
I'm glad you said it, Linda. That's what I was trying to find out. Because the little I know about Tourette's, just watching that show where they're trying to treat these poor boys, I noticed it was related to anxiety. And by reducing anxiety, they can reduce the symptoms. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's absolutely right. They need to learn how to deal with what is making them anxious. And often these kids have maybe OCD, such as my son has OCD and ADHD. And those are all those anxiety disorders. And as he deals with them, he is able.
All right, so when a kid gets nervous, so to speak, in plain old English, the symptoms start to appear, right?
They do. When he's stressed,
All right, so now this is very interesting. So how do you reduce stress to the point where he can still function, though? That's the problem you face every day, right?
Well, exactly. Some of it, I mean, he just can't. You know, when he was in college, the stress level was so high, and he barks, and so his barking would get really loud at night. And
that's sad. That's very sad. It's heartbreaking. And the child knows it's happening, and he can't control it. It must freak him out. He feels it coming on, and he can't stop it. It's like an epileptic seizure in a way, isn't it?
Well, no, the issue at hand is what he says is, he says, you know, Mom, it's too bad. There's so much out there about ADD and on, but not enough about...
Wait, what do you mean by the barking? What do you mean by the barking? What is that?
It will be like a screaming out. It's referred to barking. And so he'll just scream out. So I'll say to him, Stephen, you got to go in the basement. Now he doesn't live with us anymore. If you feel it coming on.
But you mean it got that bad that he would start screaming in the house?
Well, you would think that, imagine yourself screaming very loud in your house.
How long would these episodes go on for?
It might just be maybe for a few screams. But it can even be if he's excited about doing something. Then he can start barking or hitting himself or something on that line.
It's terrible, you know, being the parent of a child with such a condition or other conditions is one of the most challenging things a parent can face, though I don't have to say it. It's pretty obvious. And what does the stress do to you, though, when you see your poor son going through this hell?
I think in the early stages, we didn't understand what it was. We just couldn't understand, why are you acting this way? And, you know, Stephen, stop it.
So you'd get mad at him.
Right, because it was very reactive. But then when we started to understand, this is due to, you know, something, and we could see that it was related, but as he got older, he was able to continue to explain, listen, I can't help it. And then when we started digging deep into it, we realized what it is. He doesn't...
So if this Tourette's syndrome had existed has this existed for longer than the current age? Is this something that's always been around? In human history, has there been Tourette's 500 years ago? Did it exist?
Well, I have to believe, I'm not quite certain, quite honestly, how far back.
I wouldn't think you would know the answer. I would love an expert in this field, and maybe we'll find one, because I'd be curious how people dealt with this hundreds of years ago. You know, the medicine is so different today than when I grew up. For example, I don't want to go into it over and over again, but I'm happening to be writing about it right now. But my brother was born with a severe neurological disorder. And the doctors were so primitive. They so mistreated him. Then they sent him away to a state home in which he died 20 years later, a snake pit, because they said he couldn't be treated. It was terrible what they did. But what I'm asking is, I mean, I only recently learned about Tourette's and what these kids suffer through, but I'm curious, is this something new in human medical history, or is it something that's been in the human condition? Where did this arise from? What are the theories on this?
You know, I'm sorry to say I cannot answer that.
I wouldn't expect to put you on the spot and ask you a question of medical history. I'll get an expert on. I think everybody would benefit from knowing about this. And all I can say is my heart does go out to you. The struggle for the parents is overwhelming when a child has such challenges, and I can just say I I hope to God things improve with some medication in the very near future. And thank you for calling the Savage Nation. That brings us to 16 minutes after the hour. I mean, we can go on to other topics. Here is a pediatrician calling that I'd love to. Do we have time for the pediatrician right now? Oh, I'd love to take this call. Frank on WMAL, please take this call. What's on your mind, Frank?
I was just saying that I have Tourette's syndrome and was a pediatrician, so it is possible to succeed.
So wait, you are a physician. You've suffered Tourette's all your life, and you got through medical school?
Oh, yeah.
How did you... Frank, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. Has Tourette's been in the human medical, a medical condition forever?
That I can't answer.
So let's deal with the realities of it. How do you deal with these episodes is what we want to know.
Personally, I find that the more caffeine I drink or consume, that it gets worse. And with anxiety, of course. And to some degree, after a while, you just realize what it is. And with a human effort, if you will, you can control it to some degree, not perfectly.
So when you feel the need to scream out or whatever, you can control it now without medication?
I don't have that kind of problem. And again, as a pediatrician, I've seen a number of cases of Tourette's. Not all of them spring out with these foul language. There are a lot of cases of Tourette's that are much milder than that.
And that's why I wasn't joking when I said at the beginning, I wonder where Tourette's ends and just speaking your mind begins. I don't know the difference here.
Well, yeah, my experience with Tourette's is to speaking your mind, you're expressing something logical. Tourette's, the words just come out.
Okay. But it is an anxiety. It is an anxiety disorder, doctor. Correct.
Well, anxiety will make it worse. But actually, there's some evidence in the literature that it may be related to strep infections. So there really is no one test to diagnose Tourette's. I mean, like,
What about alcohol? If coffee makes it worse, does alcohol diminish the symptomology?
For me, I've not noticed alcohol affects it one way or the other.
So what calms you down? What do you use?
Nothing. By habit, you realize what you're doing and you try to calm down. And again, I realize certain situations make it worse. And when that happens, I just, to some degree, calm myself. But to some degree, it just happens. And the twitching, I can't do a whole lot about after a while.
Well, you know, I so admire people who struggle with major issues and decide in their own through their own willpower to overcome them. I mean, it's beautiful to hear. It's very inspirational, Frank. Here you are. I just touched on the topic casually because I saw a show on it last night about these poor kids. It's one of my things in my life is when I see kids suffering, and I just drives me crazy because of my brother. That's why I made such an issue of the Yazidi girls being tortured and raped, and why I'm so angry at Hillary Clinton for being a liar and not saying one word about this travesty going on in front of our eyes. And I just talked about it. I don't know a thing about Tourette's, nothing. But I was wondering if a person who blurts out inappropriate comments is much different than someone who blurts out appropriate comments, as we do on talk radio. That was sort of semi-comedic, but not really comedic. I wonder if there's some similarity somewhere, because, you know, not everybody can speak their mind, Frank. As a doctor, I think you can understand what I'm saying. There are people who want to say what they feel. They don't even know how to do it.
Oh, yeah, And some are more gifted at being able to say things.
Well, thank you for the oblique compliment. We have to walk a tightrope in talk radio every day. We have to say our mind and pray to God we don't get fired for saying too much of our mind. Frank, let me send you a Christmas gift, Government Zero, written by Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I think our success with our members is that in the Republicans' obsession with lifting the oil export ban, they really gave away the store. Democrats were able to strip our scores and scores of poison pills, destructive poison pills, some of which they had to have, which they ended up not having.
So they asked Pelosi, basically leak, she may have Tourette's. She just gave up what exactly happened in the budget deal. She sounds like a nutcase. I don't know what she has, but she's not all there. We know that. That's why she succeeded so wildly in Congress. You know, when you're in a bug house, if you're buggier than the rest of them, you rule the pack. If you're a bigger nut than they are. What do you think? They're all sane and normal because they can put on a suit and tie? But she says what's true. I said it to you yesterday. Mitch McConnell is one of the worst people in the history of the Congress. I call him affectionately the gobbler because his chin looks like a turkey gullet. The gobbler gave up everything for coal. That was 6 months ago. And now the oil lobby got the oil import-export ban lifted, which is all they wanted was the right to sell oil overseas, which is a good thing for us. In a way, it's a good thing. I'm not so sure it's 100% good, by the way. But nevertheless, it'll lower the price of fuel. That's all they cared about. They don't care about anything else. And this is what happens when you have a rogue government that doesn't care about the country. In fact, it's even worse when you have a rogue government that hates the country, like this one. And this rogue administration, which is transforming America into an unimaginable Frankenstein, which may never ever, it's like Humpty Dumpty, you know, had a great fall, Humpty Dumpty, and cracked once it fell. This man is breaking this country in a way that it may never be. The fissures he's creating may never be healed. This crazy man in the White House has taken an axe to the egg called America and has so broken the shell that it may never be reparable. And the reason it's happening is because of the lobbyists like those who put this guy Quisling Ryan in power.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't know. Look, maybe I'm moving into an area that you don't want to hear about, but I got to go down this road. I opened the door on Tourette's. I know nothing about it. And now I get this from a person I trust a great deal. He just sent this to me, and I want to read it to you. He says, although vocal and motor tics are the hallmark of Tourette's syndrome, such other symptoms as the expression of socially inappropriate comments or behaviors, who's not responsible for that? Obsessive compulsive disorder, check that. Attention deficit disorder, check that. Self-injuring behavior, check that. Depression, check that. Anxiety, check that. Also appear to be associated with Tourette syndrome. Most research suggests that Tourette syndrome is an autosomal dominant disorder, although a gene responsible for Tourette has not yet been discovered. Tourette syndrome is found in all populations and all ethnic groups, but is 3 to 4 times more common in males than females, and is more common in children than adults. The exact frequency of Tourette syndrome is unknown, but estimates range from 0.05% to 3%. That's interesting. So, socially inappropriate behavior. I mean, socially inappropriate comments or behaviors, check. OCD, check. Attention deficit disorder, check. Self-injuring behavior, check. Depression, check. And anxiety. So that means you have Tourette if you suffer these things? Interesting. Maybe some of us do and don't even know it. Who knows? I think the trick is to just keep trucking through everything, frankly, in life. If you can. Unless you're so overwhelmed by symptomology of this or any other syndrome, and you can't. You know, if you let yourself get here's the thing. If you let yourself get pulled down into self-analysis of what's wrong with yourself, you can wind up incapable of moving. You say, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm this, I'm that. And you wind up becoming a hermit. You don't go out of your house. You don't talk to anybody. You become fearful. And then you become basically a hermit. That's not a good thing, obviously. So what's the answer to that? Which is, I guess, you know, don't overanalyze your own problems. It has to be that simple. You can't sit there and control, you know, say this is not right, that's not right in yourself and others every minute of the day. And this is part of the problem, I think, with talk radio. We in talk radio have to continue to attack. There's no other word for it. There's no way to make it nicer. We attack the political structure that we despise. that we believe is wrong and bad for the country and bad for the individual. Okay, that's what we do. But if you do this 2-3 hours a day, constantly looking at the flaws of the opposition, which is what we do, it has a very damaging effect upon us, we in the talk business. We may not, I don't know who else will admit it, but me. But what happens is you become more critical than you normally are. And I think we all start out as very critical individuals. Ask anyone around us if that's who we are. They don't like it very much. We're constantly picking on them, I guess, just as we pick on the opposite. Even if we're right, and we are usually right. I mean, my analysis is as brilliant as it can get. I know that. I mean, I'll self-diagnose. My analysis of what this character is doing to this country is 100% right. We're in grave danger because of the maniac running the country and lunatics, greedy lunatics like Nancy Pelosi, who have a greed that you can never imagine. But anyway, even if we are correct, the price that we pay is extremely high, is what I'm saying to you. And there's no furtherance to what I want to say at this time about that. There's nothing more that has to come from me. I'd rather cut it off at this juncture rather than keep going on. So, like, for example, you know, we all have to find ways to cope with who we are at the end of the day, with all of our warts, right? We have to live with all of our warts. And we have our ways of coping. With some, it's running. With some, it's gym. With some, it's vitamins. With some, it's alcohol. With some, it's who knows what, whatever anyone does. Religion. You could argue that religion is a way of dealing with anxiety. Couldn't you? Couldn't you argue that religion is a way of dealing with grotesque anxiety? That you think that there's a higher power that's looking over you and is going to take care of you? Now, whether you believe it or not, right? Isn't it a form of anxiety relief? So there are many things that people do. Some create with their anxiety. In fact, most of the best creators I've ever studied are extremely anxious individuals. They take their nervous energy, so to speak, and convert it into a piece of sculpture or a painting or a writing or a talk show. That's what artists do. That's what creators do, is they channel their anxiety. They work with it like a piece of stone. The worst thing you can do to it is deaden it. Strangely enough, that's the truth. The worst thing you can do is deaden your anxiety. Because that's the challenge, is to learn how to channel it without letting it overwhelm you. Just some random thoughts, that's all. It's like a quiet week in radio. It's a quieter day in the cafe. Think of this as Cafe Savage, and that it's normally packed to the rafters, and you can't even get into the cafe. And I'm the guy behind the counter who owns the cafe, and you're coming in to have a coffee and talk with me and friends. Well, today the cafe is half full. It's not half empty. That means it's half full, not half empty. So there's still plenty of people who want to talk and want to think. Not everybody shuts their minds off in these 2 weeks, which is why I chose to be on the radio. I mean, most people are off. Not all. Some are off. That's their decision. I was going to be on right now through New Year's Eve. I'm probably not going to be on. I'm thinking about it. Like, I'll be on today. I'm on already half the show. I think it's half the show's already over, which is hard to believe the mood I'm in. I don't know how I got this far, the mood I'm in. I don't know how I got this far at all today. And I'll be on tomorrow, God willing. But Thursday, Christmas Eve, I'm off. I was going to be on, I'm off. I'm off Christmas Day because, you know, people and it's presents or whatever. I actually, in the past, have been on both days. I would never take any days off. In fact, I like the holidays more than any because I knew there were a lot of people who didn't want to just shut their brains down. Then I'm going south over the weekend. That means Los Angeles, not Florida, where I have a brand new Los Angeles studio, which I've never used. It's taken months to build. Months, I've never used it. It sits there with the wires running hot. Like having water on the boil and you don't boil anything. I'm paying these huge bills for ISDN costs and this and that. So Monday will be my first show from Los Angeles. I hope you'll listen to that one. And I may take a few days off next week, although I'm not 100% sure where I'm going to go after L.A. I may not go to anywhere. I may come home. I may go to Florida. I don't know. I'm not a big traveler. Oops. I'm not a huge traveler. I don't want to be away from Teddy for that long. See, now, he's one of my methods of coping, to be honest with you, with the world. I mean, what do we have our pets for? A man originally had a pet as a guard dog and a hunting dog, right? And some of us still do, but the majority of pets are not. They're calming agents. Like right now, as I'm speaking to the little fellas asleep, upside down with his entire innards showing to me. He don't care. His legs are open. What does he know? Hands are on his chest. He's snoozing away. He don't care. He doesn't have a care in the world. So when I look at him, I feel he calms me down. Or I touch his little fur, and I can see a little smile emerge on his face, even while he's sleeping. If I walk near him in the studio, and I say, Teddy, how are you? Like I used to talk to my brother. I see a little smile, like he looks like a little porpoise. He's not even awake, but I see the smile. So what does that do for us as humans? It has a feedback mechanism to us. It calms us down. It makes us feel safer. It reduces our anxiety. Why? I don't know why, because if the animal feels safe, we feel safe. And then we have a job as Big Brother to protect them. We must protect our little friends. So that's also something. It brings out a protectiveness in us, you know? Anyway, I think we're going to move on from this illness and the H1B stuff. Who knows? You could stay on the line if you want to call about that. I'm not certain what I really want to talk about today. I wouldn't say I'm in a strange mood. I'm in a different mood. It's not that focused. It's a little kind of different because I know the audience is kind of scattered all over the map, traveling here, there, shopping, last days before Xmas and all of that. And, you know, if you want to call with a different topic that you think is worthy of discussion on this national program, the phone number is 855-407-2282. Or if you want to answer some of these questions that we're talking about Tourette syndrome, that's good. Originally, you know, somebody wrote me this, the same gentleman who wrote me that about Tourette, said to me, believe it or not, that it was once considered to be possession by the devil. Would you believe it, how primitive things were? Here it is, wait here. Oh, yeah, he said that in the old days, they thought that it was possession. The first references in the literature to what might today be classified as Tourette syndrome describe individuals who were wrongly believed to be possessed by the devil. But then in 1885, Gilles de la Tourette, a French neurologist, provided the first formal description of this syndrome, which he described as an inherited neurological condition characterized by motor and vocal tics. So before that, you were considered possessed by the devil. Could you imagine what these poor people suffered? What they did to them? Can you just imagine? You know, and sometimes I think about how advanced we are medically at this stage of human development. And then I wonder, let's say 100 years from now, let's move 50 years at the pace that things are moving. We'll look back to the year 2015, and what will people say about some of the things the medical profession is doing to us today in diagnosis and in treatment? They'll say, oh, my God, how backwards they were. How could they ever have thought such a thing? My God, how stupid they must have been in those days. So I ask myself, well, what might they look back upon with such derision? And I don't have any direct answers. I mean, I have some answers. I mean, I've studied nutrition enough to know that so many things can be ameliorated with the proper diet and nutrition. Certainly not all. That'd be crazy. But to rely strictly upon nutrition for all illnesses is equally nuts. You know, there are people who are so fanatical about their beliefs, they think that alternative medicine can treat anything, which is nutty. It's not true. You have to incorporate all of the modalities of medicine, from allopathy to homeopathy and herbal medicine, you name it. And it's a difficult thing to incorporate all of them because people want to stick to one field that they know about and dismiss everyone else as nuts. I get it. I think it's the same holistic approach to politics that I try to bring to this show as well. You know what I'm saying? But looking back at medical procedures of the past, now that I'm on this particular road with you, here, I'll give you an example. Did you know that in the 1880s, 1890s in England, it was fashionable amongst the wealthy? They became so disgusted by their own bowel habits. They didn't like the idea that they were human and had to go to the bathroom. They hated it. They thought it was disgusting. After all, they were such perfect people, right? So they elected to have colostomies. It became fashionable for the rich to bypass their lower bowel and have all of the waste matter pass into a rubberized bag on their side, I swear to God, so they could just dispose of it as though it was waste without having to go through the embarrassment of sitting down on a toilet. You say, oh, come on, you're making this up. No, I'm not making it up. It's a medical fact, or let's say a sociological medical fact. So you say, well, that was totally crazy of them. Why would they do such a thing? Well, we look back now and say it was crazy of them, yes. So having put things in context on a minor scale, what procedures in medicine today, what practices in medicine, health, nutrition, drugs in particular today, would you think that in 50 years people look back and say, holy God, the human beings of the 2015 era was so stupid that they did that? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. I began the show by talking about the unfairness of taxation and how CEO Apple CEO Tim Cook dismissed the tax avoidance allegations as total political excrement, and how embarrassed I am to even have to say that Apple is an American company, and how they get away with it is because they placate Obama. And I also told you that we're surviving a cultural revolution just barely, because the opposition party, the Republicans, have sold themselves out for coal, for oil, for special interests. In other words, they care only about business. They don't care about the culture. And I focus on cultural issues more than I do on economic issues, by the way, if you haven't noticed. If you would analyze my show, you would say my show is more focused on cultural than any other issues, right? I want to read you one of my favorite Mao Tse-Tung quotes to show you how far we have fallen into the morass of this monster in the White House, how successful he really is. So here is a favorite phrase of the communist revolution, Mao Tse-Tung. When the enemies with guns are annihilated, the enemies without guns still remain. We must not belittle these enemies. When the enemies with guns are annihilated, the enemies without guns still remain. We must not belittle these enemies. Did you hear what I just said to you? So although you're an enemy without guns here in America, they don't underestimate your power. Nancy and the socialist gang understand that you're still an enemy of the way of life that they want to impose upon you. They want total control. They want absolute power. They want absolute socialism, which is absolute power. You don't understand that, because many of you are still stuck in the idea that socialism means a workers' peasants' party where they wear little blue suits with little red stars. That's not what it means at all. Hitler was a socialist. I don't know how many different ways I have to say that to you. National socialism. They let the capitalists of Germany thrive. They let the Microsofts, the Apples of their day, make fortunes as they rose to power. You don't understand that. You have to understand it to understand anything that I'm saying to you today. I try to describe it in all of my books, most importantly, in Government Zero. The book is still selling very well because people are starting to catch finally the idea that Obama is not what he appears to be, that he is one of the greatest deceivers in the history of America, that he is moving America slowly but surely to its death because he wants to reshape it. And reshape it he's doing. He can't do it legitimately or legally. He knows that. So he does it stealthily. And his number one goal is to flood America with so many Muslims that the country can never recover, period. One thing you have to understand is that almost all Muslims who come here come from socialist dictatorships. Let's start with that. This is an important point that is often overlooked in the discussion of Muslim immigration. Almost all of them come from socialist tyrannies. You say we're coming here for freedom. What's wrong with that? Are they? Well, ask yourself, are they? Do they accept Christianity and Judaism and Buddhism as fellow religionists? Do they? Ask them if they do. Ask them if they see you as an equal the next time you meet a Muslim. Well, you won't, because you never will meet one. No, my friends, I'm afraid the diagnosis and prognosis is worse than I imagined.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
No music? Come on, we need some music, Robert. Give me any of the platters. I wanted Heavenly Shades of Night Are Falling, but if you have any of the others, let's fire them away. Let's see what we have. I don't know why. All right, let's move on to something less serious. And that is this. Show is mainly political. If Trump wins, my career will have been worth the struggle. This country has been very good to me and my family. I've been working since I'm a little boy. But America's always been a place that if you put your shoulder, I don't know how it goes, I don't even know the phrase, to the grindstone or something like that. If you put your shoulder to the grindstone, you'll burn your neck off. I don't know how it, yeah, you put your shoulder to the grindstone, it'll burn your neck off. No, but the thing is, I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. I wouldn't let anything deter me. And I, okay, succeeded. I wouldn't say beyond my wildest dreams. I don't know what that would mean. What would that mean? I've written 30 books. I've published 30 books. There are more to come yet. And I am successful in radio. I thank you for that. But, you know, what would it mean to be more successful? What would that mean? More money? Bigger audience? What does that matter? I mean, what does it mean at the end? I don't even know what it means. I would basically be the same person, so how does that matter? So, okay, where do I go from here? I'm really evaluating. It's like the end of the year evaluation on the air is what's going on. I'm thinking out loud. I have to be careful where I go with this because I may go too far and may disclose certain things I really don't want to disclose on the show right now. I got to watch out for my tendency towards, I wouldn't say Tourette, but maybe to say a little too much at times that are inappropriate and self-defeating, I could say. True. But having said that, you know, certain things came up in the last hour. I started talking about Tourette syndrome and got a lot of great calls. We have some amazing calls still on the line. And then it led to a discussion of some archaic concepts of medicine that we look back upon and laugh at. And I asked you, what might we look back upon and laugh at in 50 years from now that are being done now by ourselves, by our own medical profession? And I've got some great calls on that one. I still have Tourette calls that I want to get to. And some politics that are worth talking about. And the biggest political issue to me is the sellout, not of the Republican Party, but of the media. We've lost them. Once we lost the media, we lost this country. And when you see these stooges like Jake Tapper, and I pick him because he's one of the younger liars. He's one of the younger fakers that's being used by the administration to push the cultural and social revolution that will destroy all of us in the end if it's not stopped. These are stupid people. Men like Jake Tapper, who sound intelligent, look intelligent, speak intelligently, or Anderson Cooper, they're actually stupid people. They never see the bigger picture. They don't see how they're being used by the powers that be, nor do they even care. They wouldn't care if they did know. And the end result is very bad for all of us, unless there's a remarkable God intervention. I don't know how this country survives. It's going to take an act of God to save us from this madman, this lunatic. I actually breathe easier knowing that he's in Hawaii. I actually breathe easier knowing that the psycho is out of the country. Even though it's part of the country, it's really, I live there, it's still out of the country. That's all. I look at the life and death in Shanghai. I look at what Mao Zedong did to China. And I really worry about the children and grandchildren of this country. The direction of the fascism that's emerging in our schools and colleges is overwhelmingly frightening. They admit people to the campuses that never belonged there to begin with. They never achieved the scholarship that was necessary to get in. They push them along for social reasons, social engineering reasons. And then when they can't keep up, they invent things and they start screaming and firing professors who are trying to uphold standards. They use phrases like white privilege, safe spaces. It's all nonsense. It's all crap. It's all because they never belonged there to begin with. They never could make it on their own achievements is what I mean. And so now that they're there and they can't keep up, they've come up with every excuse imaginable to attack those who are trying to uphold even a a minimal set of standards on the campuses. It's awful to watch this. So here we are. We have this enterprise called radio still existing. Thousands of stations in America. Some run only sports. Some run only, I don't know, other stuff. And some run talk. Lots of them run talk. I'm fortunate enough to be on a couple of hundred of those who run talk and have big audiences in each of these stations. But it's not going to be forever. I mean, I'm going to tell you point blank, whatever it comes to an end, it will come to an end. It will end. It will end. At some point, I will not be on the radio. And what are you going to do then? Well, you'll forget me. That's what you'll do. I don't want to start to sound like Richard Nixon now with the Checker speech. I'm not doing a Checker speech. But nobody is remembered. Nobody is remembered. We live in the world that we live in today is such that nobody is remembered the next day. They could be gone the next day. 2 days later, people forget them. You think that you're young. So I have always written books. Even since I've been a kid, to me, the written word was king. It was always the thing because they lasted longer, or so I thought. But books have become passé. You know, when you think about it, will books be around in 50 years? I don't know. Will the printed word still exist in 50 years? Don't know. But it's my legacy of my writings. It's the thing that'll remain. Maybe the recordings that are all over the internet on YouTube. I have huge archives that I've had people work on for years, going back 15, 20 years. And some of the material is pretty good. And that's about it. So what am I saying today? I don't even know. Don't even know where I'm going. I'm just kind of talking. Is it okay to just talk without having to make a point? What's that called? I think it's called conversation. To talk without having to make a point, I believe, is called conversation or philosophy. And unfortunately for us, the media is so the opposite that there are no original ideas. It's all stimulation, constant titillation, constant excitement, constant alarm. You watch Fox News, the best of them, which is Fox News, every 3 seconds there's another flashing light and another breaking news. Now, there is not that much breaking news in the world, but that's something that they learn, gets the mice in the cages to keep running on the wheel by the products. And that's why they keep hitting you with it. Okay, fine, that's the way it works. I don't do that. I'm in another world. Talk radio is different than television. It's a different medium. And I believe that as this year emerges, I'm looking ahead, really. I'm kind of wrapping up the year, looking ahead, taking inventory, looking forward to what I'm putting into the store next year. You know, what objects do you want me to put in the store next year? I know what I'm going to put in the store next year. In other words, what merchandise am I going to display for you to buy? And it's going to be all politics all the time. It's already become boring beyond belief to me. These fake debates, it's like the battleship Potemkin to me. It's nonsense. The stooge debates, especially the ones on the Democrat side, which don't exist. You know Bernie Sanders is a front for Hillary Clinton. They only pick the schmuck to make her look semi-centrist. They pick this moron street preacher, basically like an ILGWU street communist from New York in the 1930s, someone you'd see out in Tompkins Square, screaming about the workers and the workers' revolution, the workers make the rich pay the fair share. I mean, I heard this crap in New York when I was a kid. We all laughed at them. Everyone had a crazy commie uncle like him. We all knew what they were, with the soiled shirts and the foul breath, the poke you in the chest type, with the finger, grab your collar, spritz you while they were talking. You had to stand back from them when they talked. That's Bernie Sanders. And yet, you know, he made believe he's a real candidate. He's not a real candidate. The only competitor to Hillary Clinton was Jim Webb, and they ran him off. They ran him off the stage because he was too patriotic. He sounded almost like a conservative. They got rid of him immediately. He was a true blue collar Democrat. They got rid of him. So who is she? What does she stand for? Nothing. She stands for self-aggrandizement. She does not stand for women's rights. That's the most nonsensical thing I've ever heard in my life. Any woman who stood for women's rights would be screaming from a rooftop to send in the Marines to save the Yazidi girls from rape, murder, and torture. To send in anything they needed to send in, paratroopers, Green Berets, to kill the bastards and save the girls. That would be somebody who I believe for 1 second. So there'll be politics next year, as there is every year. And there'll be stuff like this, because I think the other things are just as important and interesting, like today, Tourette, medicine, you know. I think those are interesting subjects. So let's go to some of the callers. This is by way of saying let's go to the callers on what will we look back upon 50 years from now and say, are you kidding? That's what they used in those days? Richard on WTMA Radio, what do you think will be looked upon? Yeah, I'm not what's up. What will be looked upon with derision years from now?
Yeah. I called in. I said chemotherapy, man. So I'm saying,
what do you mean? What do you mean? You say chemotherapy will look that will be seen as primitive 50 years from now as mistake? Yeah, but it saves people's lives.
I mean, it saves it for a little bit, though. You know, the research I've done. Like I said, I'm no doctor. No, you know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. Just the research I've done on it.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Hold on. Let's not talk generically and stupidly. Chemotherapy has saved people's lives. How can we say chemotherapy will be looked upon as faulty? How?
Well, because I mean, you're putting people through. I mean, it's not an easy process to get through. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it saves people's lives. So what's the alternative?
Well, like I said, you're saying 50 years.
All right. Thanks for the call. I know what he means. The young man means well. He means that chemotherapy is so general in its assault upon our cellular matrix that it causes such harm to people as well. We know about that. But it's getting much more precise, much more targeted to the actual cancer cells, and evolutionary treatment. There's no such thing as chemotherapy the way it was. Chemotherapy from 5 years ago to today, huge differences. Huge differences. They target cells that are diseased rather than generically attacking all cells. So I don't know that you look upon all chemotherapy as horrendous. And what is chemotherapy? It's using chemicals to destroy bad cells, right? Well, in that sense, you could say that almost any medicine is chemotherapeutic. All vitamins are chemotherapy. Do you want me to put it in that context for you? Vitamins are chemotherapy. If you're taking a vitamin, you're taking chemotherapy. I know it's not the same concept, because vitamins are not killing cells. Vitamins are supporting health, which is different. I get that. But you can look upon food as a form of chemotherapy as well. Food is broken down into chemicals. And so there's good chemicals in foods and bad chemicals in foods. And what kind of food? Well, it's a whole story. Hundreds and hundreds of volumes need to be written on it. We have a caller who was a subject of Tourette at Yale as a test subject. Rick will be on the other minute we return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Well, we're not going to follow that suggestion that this particular candidate made. It would prevent the president of Afghanistan from coming to the United States. The king of Jordan couldn't come to the United States. Obviously, we're not going to do that.
That's the gobbler, Mr. Cole, Mitch the Cole McConnell, saying the Senate would not act on Trump's Muslim ban. Of course, making a fallacious, stupid argument. That's called reducto ad absurdum. When he says that the king of Jordan couldn't come if there was a ban on Muslim immigrants. I mean, it's stupid. But we'd expect that from Mitch McConnell. He's a representative of the coal industry. They found a very good representative, and he's done their work. Just as John McCain is a good representative of the arms industry. He's been very good for them recently. Not quite as good as he was 10 years ago, but the old warhorse McCain can still get the job done when necessary of pushing the manufacture of weapons that no one needs and no one uses. It wouldn't be so bad if we use the weapons. But when you see they're making the weapons for ISIS, it kind of begs the question of why are our tax dollars being used to make weapons which are being dropped to ISIS by, quote, accident or on purpose. So let's go to some of the quarters. WABC, Rick, thanks. Go ahead, please. You're on the radio.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Yes, I've had TS, we call it TS, Tourette syndrome. I also have comorbid OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder, since about second grade. you're all over it. I mean, you're absolutely right. Everything that you've said, it is a neurological disorder. It is hereditary. It's far more prevalent in men than in women. It's the tick. The tick is what counts. A tick can be vocal, or a tick can be like you see somebody blinking their eyes excessively, or shrugging the shoulders, shrugging the neck, that sort of thing. You know, the visible sort of ticks.
Yeah.
Wait,
this is very intriguing. So, you know, it could be more subtle than people think then.
Oh my God, we're experts. We come experts at masking it. Like if I know that I'm always ticking on my left side, I'll approach you from the right side. A lot of times you don't even know I have Tourette's.
Okay, let's look at the constellation of politicians out there without picking on any of them. Do any of them in your mind have such a syndrome?
Oh yes, Sheldon Silver. Shelley Silver.
No one knows who he is. He's the corrupt bum from New York State who just got indicted. But on a national scale, Rick, does Obama have any of these tics?
I've never seen it with him.
He's a perfectly normal pathological liar. Good. Who would have it?
I'm trying to think. There are a number of famous.
All right, so how do you control it when you feel it coming on? What do?
A lot of times you can't. A lot of times you can't. Stress definitely makes it worse.
So what if a person engages in negative behavior that he knows is bad for him? Is that a Tourette?
No. No, it's generally a tick. It can be a vocal tick. You know, a tick is an irresistible compulsion. You don't want to do this, but you do it. But it's not...
All right. Wait, so picking at a sore.
That can be it.
Picking at a sore would be an OCD, right?
Mostly, yeah, hand washing, checking a lock 16 times, you know, lock.
No, I know the checking the lock, that's a funny one. In this day and age, though, I don't think it's so much of a nutcase than being a realist. I mean, I check my locks before I go to sleep, I load my weapons, what's wrong with... That's a joke, sort of. So what else is considered? How do you know the difference between OCD and Tourette? That's what I want to know. I'll be back in a minute. Yesterday I talked about the rape and murder of little girls by ISIS. It went over everyone's head. No one cared. I had the leader of an army trying to fight them in the Assyrian army. Not a word. Zero. Nothing. Not a word from the great champion of women. Hillary Clinton, champion of women. Not one word about the kidnap and rape of 8-year-old girls that's going on an industrial scale in the Middle East. Not one word from that liar. She's a liar and a crook. How could you vote for her? How's that for Radio Tourette's? Not one word from the woman who says she is a champion for women. Not one word about ongoing kidnap, slavery, and rape of little girls. Yazidis in this case. I guess they don't count because it's a funny name, you know. After all, what's a Yazidi? How many Yazidis could vote for her in America? Really, how many Yazidis do you know? They can't vote for her. And we know she's a woman of pure and absolute conscience. And all you women who would vote for her, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you have any shame, you ought to be ashamed of yourself lining yourself up with someone like her. Oh, I don't care that she's a Democrat. That doesn't bother me at all. There used to be Democrats who loved America. Oh, there really used to be Democrats who were nationalists, who were in favor of protecting the people of this country, who didn't sell themselves out to foreign entities. Yeah, there used to be Democrats like that, if you can believe it. They weren't even all communists. I remember them. We had one of them in this campaign, and they destroyed him, former Secretary of the Navy, Jim Webb. Great man. And they destroyed him. They made a mockery of his nationalism. That's what your Democrat Party has become. Nothing. Zero. Worthless. Here's another one for you if you don't have enough. Are you ready for this one? Those of you who don't know what Sharia law is and what Muslims really want to do to you in this country once they gain a certain foothold, those of you who are stupid enough to think that the Muslims are just like other oppressed minorities who came here, you morons, you idiots, you psychos who don't know anything about history, are you ready for this? The filthy, tiny, oil-rich Asian nation of Brunei has banned all public Christmas celebrations from tree lighting to the donning of Santa hats and threatened offenders with up to 5 years in prison, the Sydney Morning Herald reports. Now, what you may not know is that the country is 32% Christian. Non-Muslims are 32% of the population, but the Muslim fascists who run the tiny oil-rich Asian nation of Brunei have banned all public Christmas celebrations. The ban was first enacted last year to control the act of celebrating Christmas, which could damage the beliefs of the Muslim community. The Ministry of Fascist Religious Affairs said in a statement published in the Brunei Times. It gets even better for all of you Muslim lovers out there. According to the statement, Christmas celebrations violate the penal code prohibiting the propagation of religions other than Islam to Muslims. It's such a fabulous religion, Islam, that they're afraid that if the children and the people, as a matter of fact, who are Muslims, see Christians expressing kindness to each other, it may kind of spread to their religion and undermine it. Some may think that it is a frivolous matter and should not be brought up as an issue, a group of local imams told the Borneo Bulletin. The Australian newspaper reports, quote, but we must keep it away as it could affect our Islamic faith. How do you like that? The announcement was met by boycotts and protests at Sultan Hassani Bolkiah's hotels in the U.S. and U.K. Interesting. What hotels does the Sultan of Brunei own here in the U.S.? Hotels owned by the Sultan of Brunei. Aha, U.K., he owns the Dorchester. Never go there. In the U.S., the Beverly Hills Hotel. I'm never going there again. I'm not going there again. I could say, I know it was boycotted because of a gay thing. Now I'm never going there again. I'm going to be in Beverly Hills this weekend. I'm not going there. I go there for coffee. It's like, I went there for two coffees and a piece of cake. It cost $40. It was beautiful, though, because nobody was in the Polo Lounge. I like going there when none of the posers are there. It's a pleasure to go into restaurants in Beverly Hills when all the fakers are not. They will make believe they have deals pending. They got a deal pending. It's almost coming. It's almost about to be completed. It's in progress. They're looking at it. They're evaluating it. There's no one there. It was gorgeous. I'm never going there again. The Hotel Bel Air, Los Angeles, opened again in 2020. Never going there. In France, Le Meurice, Paris. La Plaza Athénée in Switzerland, if you're thinking of going there for the holidays, of all of my rich listeners. Le Richelieu, or for those of you who are popping off to Italy for the holidays because you have nothing but money in your pockets. He owns the Hotel Principe di Savoia in Milan and the Hotel Eden in Rome. You know, if Christians really want to support Christmas, they ought to consider who the Sultan of Brunei really is. Every cup of coffee you buy in any of his restaurants go towards his belief system. That's all. Next case. So here's the question. Since we're all in such a loving spirit around the holidays, do you think that Apple, Microsoft, and Google and the other internet giants pay their fair share of taxes? I don't. And in fact, I've been hammering this point for two books now. And strangely enough, Charlie Rose interviewed Apple CEO Tim Cook, who is as slithery a snake as Obama. Tim Cook tries to slither out of the tax avoidance of Apple. He's as good at it as Barack Obama at his job, which is called spinning the truth. The plain fact is, despite all the rhetoric coming from the communists and the Democrat Party, including the ones who are running for the office of the presidency, you know and I know that the major corporations like Apple don't pay their fair share. Oh, they pay what they have to pay. But they rigged the tax code as far as I'm concerned. They say, oh, it's the tax code. They wrote the tax code. In fact, the last I checked, talking about Microsoft now, and I could be mistaken, Microsoft hired over 1,000 former IRS officers to rewrite their own tax laws so they would pay as little as possible. You say, well, it's just business. No, it's not just business. It's monkey business. And so we're talking about the big corporations who've never had it so good. See, this is how it works. You don't understand this. What you people don't understand is that if you study the history of tyrannies, which I've done all of my life since I'm 18 years old, I've been fascinated by tyrannies. How do you think Hitler rose to power out of being an obscure bum in the streets with a bunch of perverted thugs who beat everyone up? How do you think he rose to take over Germany? You would say the industrialists would have stopped him. Yeah, they would have stopped him if he wasn't good for them. But he was very smart. He cultivated, for example, the Krupps, who ran the Krupp Steel Company, builders of the armaments in Germany, and the ovens who baked the Jews. And the Krupps backed him to the hilt. So did all of the major corporations in Germany. He was very smart to have cultivated the major corporations of Germany so they wouldn't oppose him. So he made favorite deals with them, way along, every step of the way. So now we have an interview with Apple CEO Tim Cook, and I'm making a big leap here. I'm making a cultural leap for those of you who want it and can follow the bouncing ball. What am I saying to you? Why is it we don't hear a peep from Tim Cook of Apple or the great sweater wearer of Microsoft, who has the best PR team in the world, makes you all think he's such a kindly, nice man? Why don't they say a word? They have good deals. They don't pay 39% tax like any corporation would, you know, less expenses. They're not paying 39%. They do all sorts of deals. I think one is called a Triple Irish, which Microsoft is famous for. Billions, hundreds of billions of dollars kept offshore so they don't have to pay American taxes, even though they are a U.S.-based company. Even though their companies were built here based on American technology created by government money. Think about what I just said to you. What do you think, this thing with the undershirt? Zuckerberg is such a genius? I'm sure he has genius in him. But Zuckerberg didn't invent the Internet any more than Al Gore did. Zuckerberg was a buccaneer who knew how to use the Internet. He came up with an app. Basically, it's an app. A schmendrick with an app at Harvard. That's what he is. A schmendrick with an app. The schmendrick from Harvard has an app. The schmendrick didn't create the Internet. The schmendrick created an app, so he made a lot of money. But the schmendrick cultivates Mao Tse Obama. So Schmendrick gets favors from Mao Obama. This is how it works. And that's how it worked in Germany. That's how it works in America. They could care less what he does to the country. Well, we're talking about the cultural revolution that is being conducted upon America by Barack Fang Obama. The Fang is on vacation right now. And the Fang is resting for a while before he comes back to bite the apple again. And the Fang won't be happy until this country of ours resembles that of communist China under Mao Zedong. In a minor form, of course. And whether you can survive the Cultural Revolution is a question of whether you can. And what do I mean by the Cultural Revolution? It's everything I talk about every day. Flooding America with cultures that are not only incapable of assimilating into this culture, but the opposite of that. They want to destroy this culture. They want to convert the culture. Do I have to spell out the name Islam? Islam is not compatible with the West. Islam has been at war with everyone for 1,400 years, no matter what Hillary Clinton may protesteth about it. The religion itself is a religion of conversion. The cultural revolution that China went through is what Obama is trying to conduct upon this country in a far more stealthy manner. The Cultural Revolution occurs on all levels. The universities have become... do I have a word for the single word of what they've done to the universities? Take a look at what these Black Lives Matter radicals have done to the campuses. Shouting down professors, white professors at that, who won't cater to them. Do you see what I'm talking about? Those are the Red Guards of today. The movies, pollution, garbage, filth, undermining the family, undermining faith, everything you can believe in. That's the Cultural Revolution. They make a good buck at it, too. Oh, yeah. Big dollar in the counterculture. Big dollar in the anti-hero business. All the great anti-heroes. So, the Cultural Revolution, can you survive it? You know, I have two books I'm reading. One is Jung Chang's book, The Unknown Story of Mao. It's an older book. Light reading. It's 775 pages. I'm taking them for the holidays. The other is by another woman, Nian Chang, Life and Death in Shanghai. Another shorty, a 500-pager. And in this book, she conveys the horrors faced by one brave Chinese woman during the Cultural Revolution. That's the Communist Revolution. The Communist Revolution. She describes what they did to the people. From a China ravaged by persecution comes this remarkable and gripping testimony. You don't understand what Obama's doing. We have a society that is persecuting the Christian white male. of the heterosexual variety on an almost daily basis, whether it be in the military or any other aspect of America. I don't have to spell it out for you. If you doubt me, then read Government Zero and check out the references. Ask any military man what's going on inside the military. That's part of the Cultural Revolution. You see it's going on at such a slow pace, you don't even see it happening. And if you study the history of the communist Chinese Cultural Revolution, including the rise and fall of the Red Guards, you will see that Barack Obama is a mini Mao. He's getting away with everything he possibly can and then some, given the constraints that the geniuses called the Founding Fathers placed upon this monster! Monster! Resting up his fangs, sharpening the fangs in Hawaii for the next bite of the apple. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Took me down the microphone tube, and here I am on talk radio, emerging in the year of our Lord 2015, the date being the 22nd of December. Glad to tell you that Tahoe has just gotten 6.4 billion gallons of water in only 24 hours. Not a word from Jerry Brown about the drought. Oh, sure, it's not over yet. More than 6 billion gallons of water have poured into Lake Tahoe in less than 2 days. Since midnight Monday, the lake has gone up almost 2 inches, the equivalent of 6.39 billion gallons of water. And that's because winter storms are slamming the West Coast, hitting the Sierra, bringing several feet of snow. And you on the East Coast are suffering from or enjoying extra hot weather, but it's not going to last too much longer. These storms are going to hit you probably in 3 days, as is the case with weather, which comes out of the west because of the rotation of the earth. But the point being, how long have I told you on this show, all during the scare about the global warming and the drought and the world's coming to an end, how many years did I, Michael Savage, a New Yorker, have to tell you idiot Californians that this is a Mediterranean climate? Many of you idiots grew up here, you don't even know that it's a Mediterranean climate. A Mediterranean climate is very clear. I told you the rains would come back. I'm not a soothsayer. I don't have a crystal ball. Study the history of weather. Drought, then rain, drought, then rain, drought, then rain. Arid, then wet, arid, then wet, arid, then wet. So now we're coming back into the wet cycle. And of course, the folks in the weather business will tell you there's too much water. Right already, we're getting reports already of sandbags in San Francisco. Now they're complaining about water. First there was no water, now there's too much water. And of course, they'll all say it's owing to the global warming. Whatever happens is global warming in order to keep selling you the bill of goods. If you want the truth on the matter, my chapter on zero science in Government Zero is perhaps one of the most concise discussions of the subject with great references. There are other great sources for this material if you care to study it, but I've been told by a friend who has a lady friend who's a liberal who he considers to be, I don't know what he can say. I don't know why he's with her. He said her mind is made up. She won't read the book. She won't listen to facts. She won't discuss the issues with him. She just knows she's right. I said, that's called an ignoramus. He said, but she's very good looking. I said, she's still an ignoramus. But she comes from a fine family. I said, she's still an ignoramus. He said, I guess you're right. She's just a communist liberal. And they're not open to reason. They're not open to reason. They just won't accept reality or reason. They won't discuss anything with you. And so, my friends, on that happy note, having discussed everything from the Cultural Revolution of Mao Zedong to Tourette syndrome, to, well, I don't know, who knows how many things I touched on. All I can say is thank God for radio and thank you for listening, and God bless America.